Isaiah chapter 45, and we began reading there in verse 17. It says, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from the ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just and a Savior, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall all men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." May the Lord give us grace as we look into His Word. Father, we bless You. And Lord, we wait upon You. And we ask You, Lord, to give us understanding that we might declare Thy truth and Thy glory in the earth. Lord, that men might tremble at the mention of Thy name, that Thy people might be stirred within their very soul to cry out unto Thee. For Lord, Thou art indeed a just God and a Savior, a mighty God, and a strong deliverer. And we wait upon Thee. And Lord, we confess that apart from Thee we have no help. For vain is the help of men. Vain is all the human reason that is set before us, Lord, in the earth. And we cast ourselves upon Thy mercy. Save us, Lord, or we perish. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And, of course, this is a glorious passage of Scripture. Of course, the whole book of Isaiah is, to me, out of all the books in the Old Testament, I find none that exceeds the book of Isaiah in the declaration of the gospel. And Isaiah was a man blessed of the Lord to declare the truth of the gospel and the salvation that would come in Jesus Christ. Now, he saw through a glass very darkly. We see through a glass darkly, but he saw even more darkly than we do. But yet, he had an understanding to some extent of the salvation of the Lord. He just didn't know the exact details or the name of the one in whom the salvation would come. But he did declare the fact that the Lord would save Israel. And we declare in the earth that the Lord has loved Israel from the beginning, and He will love Israel to the end. Now, the of course, we understand and we see a literal nation on the earth today which calls itself Israel. And the multitudes want to make that nation to be the people that God loved with an everlasting love. But that's not what the Scripture says. Now, I certainly can't say the Scripture doesn't say anything about national Israel, the people known as national Israel, that there are yet some things that may unfold in the earth having to do with them as a specific people. I don't know that. I can't say that for a fact, but I do know this, that the Israel of God that is having to do with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is not a nation, which it can be, its borders can be defined on the earth, or its people, the natural descendants of one particular man. That nation of Israel, which the Lord Jesus Christ, and which the Lord declares here that He would save, is that people which He loved with an everlasting love from before the foundation of the world, in which the nation of Israel was used, at least for a season, as a type and foreshadow of that those people to whom the salvation of God would come in power. And so the Lord says here that Israel shall be saved. And Paul says the exact same thing over in the book of Romans in the 11th chapter. Says, and all Israel shall be saved. I mean, that all of Israel will be saved. Now, everybody, that doesn't mean that everybody that is a natural descendant of Abraham will be saved, but it means all of Israel will be saved. It means all of those whom the Lord has chosen from before the foundation of the world. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. Now, Isaiah didn't understand that. He didn't have that same understanding. And just like there is a veil upon the nation of Israel even at the present time, they don't know that. They still think that they are the nation of God. And there's multitudes of Gentiles think the same thing. But the Scripture indicates that the Israel that the Lord shall be saved is indeed that one and the same with that people whom He's loved from before the foundation of the world. The Lord will save His people. And that's what He says here. He said, He made, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it and created it not in vain. The purpose of God will take place in the earth. And He has shown what His purpose is right here. He said, He's going to save Israel. He created the world to be inhabited. What He created to be inhabited for? To show that He would save His people. You see, that's why He created the world. He formed the earth. He made it to be inhabited. He said, I am the Lord and there is none else. I've spoken it. Not in secret. You see, that's why He sent men into the earth to declare the truth of God. It's not something done in secret. It's not done in secret. He's done it openly. Now, because of the darkness of men's minds, He's done it right in their midst and they couldn't see it. The Pharisees, they were in the darkness. He said, the kingdom of God's in your midst. It's right here among you, but you don't know it. You can't see it, but that's because of the darkness of your heart. But the Lord has not done this thing in a corner. He's not hid it from men, but He has displayed the salvation of God for those to see, that He gives eyes to see. Now, He said He hid it from who? The wise and the prudent, but He's revealed it unto babes. He said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. Now, we would desire to see men seek the Lord. And we believe it's a true thing, that if a man seeks, he shall find. And everyone that knocks, to him shall be opened. And if he asks of his father a piece of bread, he's not going to give him a serpent. none of those who have fled for refuge to Jesus Christ shall be ashamed in the day when God comes to judge the quick and the dead. He said, I didn't tell you these things so that you'd seek me in vain. He said, I said not to the seed of Jacob. Now there is a seed of Jacob. There is a people who are set apart in Jesus Christ. And unto them does the gospel come in its power and in its fullness. And it's those to whom the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now he didn't say, everybody come to me. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those that need the Lord, those that seek the Lord, those that have to have the Lord, those that can't live without the Lord. That's the ones to whom he comes, and he says to them, I didn't tell you to seek me in vain. There's no man that's going to be found in the day, the final day of things, that has sought the Lord with all his heart, whom the Lord has turned away. He said, if you seek me, ye shall find me when you seek me with all your heart. And you see, that's those who are the seed of Jacob are caused by the Spirit of the living God to seek the Lord, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They can't cause it to happen. I mean, how can a man going along one day looking at the things of the world and being delighted and satisfied therein and just as happy as he can be, all of a sudden start seeking the Lord? He couldn't. It makes no sense, does it? I mean, you can't persuade a man to seek the Lord. I mean, you can scare him for a little while. You can tell him how hot hell is and how he's going to wind up there and all of that, and it'll cause some men to straighten up for a while and get all concerned about it. But after a while, that fades out and they're back to the same old, like a sow that's washed or wallowing in the mire, a dog that's returned to its own vomit. They're right there. But you see, when the Lord begins to work in a man's heart and begins to deal with him by the power of the Spirit of God and shows him the fact that he is, or demonstrates to him before he ever knows it, that he is one of the seed of Jacob, he says to him, I will not cause you to seek me in vain. Now sometimes we think that we are, because we know the deceitfulness of our heart, do we not? And sometimes we get thinking, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to find the Lord or not. But dear brethren, that's an evidence of the fact that the Spirit of God is working in a man when he's desiring to seek the Lord with all of his heart, because he knows that he can't find him on his own power. And he's shut up to waiting for the Lord to reveal himself. Now, we live in an age when the common message is that you can just, whenever you get ready, seek the Lord and he'll be right there. And you just sign on the dotted line and he's honor bound to honor the commitment that you make. And bingo, you're in and that's done, that's it. But that's not what the Lord's saying here. He says that he says to the children, to the seed of Jacob, you shall not seek me in vain, because there is a seeking. And sometimes that seeking is a long seeking. See, the Lord didn't say, seek me and immediately I'll come. See, those that seek the Lord, sometimes it's a long process. Yes, sir.
Seeking's not the same as a decision.
That is absolutely correct. Well, he won't eat much, maybe. I hope he don't. Anyway. Where'd he go? Y'all keep an eye on him. If he lights on me, tell me. The Lord said, I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw ye near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. You see, when men are always seeking out some invention. And there's always plenty of folks that'll tell a man exactly what he wants to hear. And you can go out here into the world and you can find, it's just like a buffet. It's like going to the country time buffet or whatever. I mean, they got pans of every kind of thing you can think of. And if you're looking for something that men can prepare for you that you want to hear that sounds good, you'll find it. You most definitely will. But you see, the people of God are not seeking after such things as that. They want truth in the inward parts. They want God's presence to teach them and lead them and to bring them out of the place where they find themselves in. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it? Have not I the Lord? Is the message of salvation changed? I mean, was Abraham justified in a different fashion than a man in the present time? Some folks say God changed or things changed. God changed the way he dealt with men. God never changed anything. It's been the same from the beginning. The only difference between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints is that we see these things and they saw them in the future. We see them as having been done. We're a blessed people, dear brethren, to see the finished work of Christ carried out. You see, they sought to look into these things and knew that the things that they saw and understood and did were for us for a later time. Dear brethren, but we, being blessed of God, see that now these things are done and we know and understand who it is that is the Savior of sinners. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. All the ends of the earth. To the end of the earth. You see, there is no place upon this earth where the gospel has not been sent. There's no place upon the earth where the truth of God has not been sent. And is presently being sent. Wherever the seed of Jacob is, wherever there are those that cry out unto the Lord is pleased to send forth His truth that He might comfort His people and call His people and teach them the everlasting truth. For I am God, and there is none else. There is none beside me. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Now the Lord has sworn it. You know, when a man swears something, see, the Lord doesn't need to swear anything. I mean, the Lord spoke worlds into existence. What does He need to swear something for? You know, you and I, we need to swear something to one another because we know that you might tell me a lie. But if you swear, then at least I got a little bit better idea that you won't. See, when you go into a court of law and they say, do you swear to tell the whole truth? Now, why would they ask that? Why do they ask that? Because they know that a man liable not to tell the truth, see? If you don't make him just say, I'm going to tell you the truth, then he might not tell you the truth. But see, the Lord didn't have to swear to prove anything. But He did swear. Why did He swear? Because He knows how we are. You see, in mercy, the Lord sworn. He said, I have sworn by myself. I didn't need some other testimony. He says, I've declared it. The word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Now, there are a lot of people that think the Lord is just out here just trying to do something. Oh, He's just trying. Won't y'all let Him do something? Won't y'all help Him do it? Won't y'all gather together with me and just keep the Lord from going out of business? If we'll just keep pressing on, you know, God will actually be able to do something. Dear brethren, God, His hand's not shortened to save by many or by few. He said, I'm going to do it. How ridiculous is it for men to boast up themselves and think how important they are in the cog of the wheels of the machine of God. God doesn't have a machine. He just does things according to His will. He said, I've sworn it, my word has gone out and it shall not return. There's another passage of Scripture that says that the word will not return unto him void. And what that means is when He sends the word, the truth, out to accomplish something, you can be sure of this, that it will accomplish that. That's why we preach the gospel in the earth, even when it doesn't seem like anybody's listening. Even when it seems like everybody is interested in something else, because we know that if God sends the word, it will not return void. Now, what we say might fall on the ground and be forgotten tomorrow. But what God sends will not. Because you see, He sends His word to the seed of Jacob. And He said, I have not caused you to seek me in vain. It shall not return that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You see, there is going to be a universal declaration of the accomplished purpose of God in the earth. And those who cast themselves upon that stone shall be saved. But those upon whom that stone falls, it shall grind them to powder. But all men are going to come to the same conclusion, regardless of what they, where they're at in this life. Every knee, every tongue shall confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. You see, the Lord is calling the people. And those that are set against him, they shall be ashamed. But the man who has fled for refuge to Christ, he shall not be ashamed. He shall not be ashamed in the day of judgment. But those who come any other way, they shall be. They shall be ashamed, and their heads shall be bowed down low. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. All the seed of Israel shall be justified. Every one. Not going to be one that's going to be left out. But it's the seed of Israel, is it not? It's the seed of the Israel of God. He is not a Jew, which is one which is circumcised in the flesh, but he is one which is circumcised in the heart. If any man be in Christ, behold, he has made a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. For the Lord said that all the seed of Israel shall be justified But that's not all. They shall glory. They shall glory in Christ. You see, this is the thing that you cannot teach a man. You can give a man a formula for salvation. You can tell him if you'll repent and you'll call upon the Lord and you'll do this, you can be saved. And there's plenty of folks out there with a formula similar to that. They tell a man, you plug in, fill in the blanks, you'll be saved. God's got to save you because he won't go back on his word. He's, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can back him into a corner. In fact, I had a fellow tell me you could actually get God into a bind. I mean, how stupid. You can't get God into a bind. I mean, he laughs at the thought processes of men when they say such things as that. The Lord shall have them in derision. He said, kiss the Son, lest ye he be angry and ye be perished from the way. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And so you can teach a man a lot of things about salvation. You can teach him the mechanics of it. You can teach him a little bit about who God is. You can tell him how the Lord Jesus Christ saved his people. But you see, the one thing that you can't do is that which only the Spirit of God can do, and that is to cause a man to glory in Christ. That's what he said here. In him, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ my Lord. What is that which we glory in? It's that which we value. It's that which is most precious to us. It's the one thing that we would give up everything else to have. That's what you glory in. That's what a man glories in. Now some people, they want to have, they say, oh, well, we want to be saved. I mean, we want salvation. Well, do you? Do you? I mean, is Christ your glory? Is he that one that you desire above all others? Is the magnification of his name and the exaltation of his person the thing that you delight in with all your heart, soul, mind, and body? Is it that which your effort and your mind is set upon day by day by day? You see, that's that wherein you glory. The Lord said, all of Israel shall be saved. They shall be justified. Now, we know what it is to be justified. That Jesus Christ has satisfied the claims of the law, which the Lord did willingly subject us to. And Jesus Christ came into the world and satisfied every jot and tittle of that law so that he might be both just and the justifier of them which be in Christ Jesus. He has settled the sin question. But he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father, and it is in him that we glory by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit of God. A delight. You see, he's the delight of his people. He's that one that they desire to see exalted, magnified, and worshipped. And consequently, you see, there's no place for the glorying of men, can you? I mean, you can't have a glorying in the Lord and a glorying in men. It can't be. It's a glorying in Christ. It's either Christ is all, or it's not Christ at all. Because there's no mixture. There's no mixture of the works of men and the works of Christ. It's either the works of Christ or it's the works of men. One or the other. In Christ we glory. May the Lord give us a mind. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of Glory shall come in.